Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
Reese on the radio, it's Reese on the radio, coming to you live right here on blogtalkradio.com. Top of the hour, 8 o'clock on the East Coast. 1 minute after the hour, I'm doing my really hokey radio voice. Right here on Reese on the Radio. Oh, damn. Oh, damn. The Mexicans are coming. Oh, well, hell, all the illegals are coming. It ain't just the Mexicans.
They're not coming. They're already here.
Well, yeah, but they're coming. They are coming. They are coming. And you can thank the President of the United States. You can thank him. Because the whole world's going to change now. They're going to stop deportation of people who came here when they were young. But he's expanded this. Because we'll get into the whole details. We have to get into the whole detail of all this. Because that in and of itself is just a farce. Because when you listen to the rules, you'll understand how bogus this is. Now, the Department of Homeland Security, who's supposed to be here to protect us Americans, are just changing the rules for people who don't belong here.
Puerto Rico is in America now.
Sometimes I don't know which is thicker, your skull or your accent.
Oh. Vámonos, muchachos. Let them wait. Is Maria all right?
I should be so all right.
It will not happen again. Este indio. After tonight, things will be settled.
Settle your stomach.
Never mind my stomach.
Well, I mind your nose and your head broken.
Broken? Okay, I'm sure. They use Maria for an excuse to start World War III.
It is more than that.
More than what? She was only dancing.
With an American. He was really a Polack.
Says the stick.
You are not so cute.
That Tony is.
And he works.
A delivery boy.
What are you?
An assistant.
Si. And Gino makes half of what the Polack makes.
Oh,
the Polack is an American.
Oh,
hey, your mother's a Pole.
Your father's a Swede.
But
you were born here. That's all that you need. You are an American. But us, foreigners,
land coming.
Hey, but it's true. When I think of how I thought it would be for us here, we came like children, believing,
trusting with our hearts open, with our arms open.
You came with your mouth open.
You stick and you go back in handcuffs.
I'm going back in a Cadillac. Air conditioned, built-in bar.
Telephone. And television.
Compatible color.
If you had all that here, why would you want to go back to Puerto Rico?
Oh, even if you didn't have all that here, why would you want to go back to Puerto Rico?
Ah, it's so good here.
It's so good there. We had nothing.
We still have nothing. Only more expensive. Anita.
Josefina. No. It's lame Anita now. No. You leave me alone. Anita, once an immigrant, always an immigrant.
Hey, look. Instead of a shampoo, she's been brainwashed.
Stop it.
She's given a Puerto Rico and now she's queer for Uncle Sam.
Oh, no. That's not true.
Puerto Rico, my heart's devotion, let it sink back in the ocean. Oh, Always the hurricane blowing, always the population growing, and the money owing, and the sunlight streaming, and the natives steaming. I like the island Manhattan.
I know you do.
Smoke on your pipe and put that in.
For a small fee in America.
Buying on credit is so nice.
One look at us and they charge twice.
I have my own washing machine.
What will you have though to keep clean?
Skyscrapers bloom in America. Cadillacs bloom in America. Industry boom in America.
Wealth in a room in America.
Do you get my point? But there's much more pressing issues here. I just wanted to play that little bit. Of course, from Rodgers and Hammerstein's famous musical, West Side Story. You have to really, really pay attention to your past. They were using words like Spix and Pollocks. They were using all that back then in the movie theaters. One of the most successful films of that time. Musicals, for that matter. But you saw how the foreigners treated the people in America. They didn't want to be there. They hated being there. All the women wanted to be there. None of the guys. Guys, they couldn't wait to get back home. They couldn't understand why they were even there. Probably for obvious reasons, racism. Women wanted to be there because all they could see was the glamour. You know, women are always caught up in the Hollywood of everything. You hear what the women are talking about? The Cadillacs and the washing machines. The guys are talking about living in squalor. 12 people in a room.
Never get lonely.
Yeah. But President Obama.
Living off the land.
Yeah, exactly. President Obama today. Obama makes election year change in the deportation policy. The Obama administration announced Friday that it will stop deporting illegal immigrants who came into the country at a young age. You know, people who came here under no fault of their own, which is the phrase that people are using. No fault of their own because they came here following their parents, and of course they had to. Excuse me. Okay, fine, understood. So, in essence, the whole deal that the sins of the father will not be transferred to the son. Well, the bottom line is okay, fine, I understand you came to this country of no fault of your own, but it was still the fault of someone who brought you here. And you don't belong, you're not here legally, you have to go. And so who does he target? Now, I want you to pay attention because I'm a little confused. He's saying that if you came into this country before you were 16 years old and within the last 5 years and are under the age of 30, that you can get a 2-year visa, or I guess it's sort of like a 2-year
work permit or something.
Yeah, a 2-year work permit that you have to renew every 2 years. This is not a path to citizenship, but it will allow you to stay. Now, how could this be okay for someone? In essence, I'm just saying, if you got here before you were 16 and you're allowed this particular, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know why I'm losing. I have no idea why I lost the use of the English language. This provision, I guess, for lack of a better word. If it affects you, if you're below the age of 30, in essence, you would have had to have been illegal in this country for 14 years.
Yep.
And yet you fall under this particular rule?
Well, you can vote.
I don't know whether or not you can vote, because in essence, you're not here legally. Because you got here.
Well, but
I mean,
now if you get a work permit.
Yeah, but again, I understand that if you got here under 16 by no fault of your own.
Most people can't vote. But this, what they're doing is trying to get the Hispanic vote.
I understand that. Latinos will rally against this. Legal Latinos who can vote will rally behind this,
and
it will
be overwhelmed.
And it
won't even just be Latinos. It'll be,
other groups as well.
This will be all groups.
Absolutely.
And if it isn't, then, if they don't go out and vote, not saying I want them to vote for him, but if they don't go out and vote, shame on them, because here's this moron.
Well, regardless of the fact that there are other groups or other ethnicities that fall under this, everyone knows this is targeted at Latinos.
Well, because they are the majority of the illegal population.
12 million strong. But I want to play this audio, because this audio is very telling of this Obama administration. And what I see is this sweeping contradiction by Barack Obama, his surrogates or his people in office, whatever it may be. He, for some odd reason, thinks that it's okay to just blindly, before our eyes, just flat out change his position. And think that
I don't care if he changes his position.
I do.
You can have any opinion you would like. But don't make your opinion
a rule of law.
A rule of law without the American people being able to have some say about
you
that.
You are so right about Mary.
I mean, you can't just do that.
Mary, you're
this is our country. You work for us.
You are simpatico here. With me, you are simpatico here, and sure with a lot of others, conservatives especially. Listen to this exchange. This took place over a year ago, 2011, March of 2011. This is Barack Obama being asked by a Univision correspondent. So bear with me. There's going to be some Spanish dialect in the background, but the English translation is on top of it. But when Barack Obama answers the question, that will be clear to you. So pay close attention to the question that the person asks.
Mr. President, my question will be as follows. With an executive order, could you be able to stop deportations of the students? And if that's so, that links to another of the questions that we have received through Univision.com. We have received hundreds, thousands, all related to immigration and their students. Jay Tamar, through Univision.com, told us, I'm reading, what if at least you grant temporary protective status, TPS, to undocumented students? If your answer is yes, when? And if it's no, why not?
Well, first of all, temporary protective status historically has been used for special circumstances where you have immigrants to this country who are fleeing persecution in their countries. Or there's some emergency situation in their native land that required them to come to the United States. So it would not be appropriate to use that just for a particular group that came here primarily, for example, because they were looking for economic opportunity. With respect to the notion that I can just suspend deportations through executive order, that's just not the case, because there are laws on the books that Congress has passed, and I know that everybody here at Bell is studying hard, so you know that we've got three branches of government. Congress passes the law. The executive branch's job is to enforce and implement those laws, and then the judiciary has to interpret the laws. There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system, that for me to simply, through executive order, ignore those congressional mandates would not conform with my appropriate role as president. That does not mean, though, that we can't make decisions, for example, to emphasize enforcement on those who've engaged in criminal activity. It also doesn't mean that we can't strongly advocate and propose legislation that would change the law in order to make it more fair, more just, and ultimately would help young people who are here trying to do the right thing and whose talents we want to embrace in order to succeed as a country.
So here's the President of the United States a little over a year ago saying that he has no executive power to change the law to make it okay for students to stay in this country legally, that he has to go through the Congress. And what the hell does he do today? Flat out. Says, tells the Latino community, look, I can't do it. I have no power to do so. That's got to be done through Congress.
There are, well, what he
well,
says,
says there are
there
laws.
Are law, there are ways, there's red tape, there's procedures, there's expectations set in place, and I don't have the power to just...
I do not have the executive order.
I do not... that is not something that they just use under... They only use that under, you know, certain circumstances, not just because you want to come here to gain, you know, better, greater opportunities.
The funny part about this is he says that in the Rose Garden speech today, they study in our schools, play in our neighborhoods. They pledge allegiance to our flag. They are Americans in their hearts and minds and in every single way but one, on paper. I cannot believe that he said that.
What?
Now, hold on.
What the hell kind of statement was that?
He got into a little tete-a-tete with the news reporter there from the Daily Caller, our friends at the Daily Caller. I'll play that.
Yeah.
I'll play that for you. Let's get a little excerpt of how that went down.
It is the right thing to do. Excuse me, sir. It's not time for questions, sir. Not while I'm speaking. Precisely because this is temporary, Congress needs to act. There's still time for Congress to pass the DREAM Act this year because these kids deserve to plan their lives in more than two-year increments. And the answer to your question, sir, and the next time I prefer you let me finish my statements before you ask that question, is this is the right thing to do for the American people. Maybe I didn't ask for an argument. I'm answering your question. It is the right thing to do for the American people, and here's why. Here's the reason. Because these young people are going to make extraordinary contributions and are already making contributions to our society. I've got a young person who is serving in our military, protecting us and our freedom. The notion that in some ways we would treat them as expendable makes no sense. If there's a young person here who has grown up here and wants to contribute to this society, wants to maybe start a business that will create jobs for other folks who are looking for work, that's the right thing to do.
Okay, hold on.
Go on.
How in the hell do you get into our military if you ain't a citizen? You have to be a citizen. You can't just...
Go ahead.
You can't join... Can you join the military?
Apparently you can.
And not be a United States citizen?
Apparently you can.
And not be legal? So they're letting illegal immigrants join the United States military.
I've heard that before. I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Really?
In fact,
yes.
Remember the young lady who...
No.
Remember the young girl who we talked about some months ago? She's in California, I believe. I forget what state she's in, but I'm almost certain it's California. She's a valedictorian of her class. Her brother is serving in the military, and he's here illegally.
Yeah.
And they came from Colombia. And now, with this new act, the news went right to her and asked her how she responded to President Obama's, you know, pretty much about face on how he couldn't take executive order. And she was like, how astonished she was. And all of these people talking about how great they feel. They even cited the Time magazine article that you and I just saw the other day that said, we are Americans, just not legal?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
They had the guy who's on the front cover. And so this argument that he got into with the Daily Caller reporter, here's the question he was asking, and it's a goddamn good question. Barack Obama is saying that these people, by the way, I'm going to get into something else he says, which I found patently incorrect.
Didn't he go on to take an executive order and say you cannot deport these people anymore?
That's exactly what he said. He said okay. Right. He said he couldn't do it. Now he's
as of today, no more deportation.
No more deportation
for this particular group of people.
Now here's the part that two things that bother me the most. He's doing this for them. He wants them to be able to get work visas legally. They can apply for this two-year visa. And he talks about how they can now apply for jobs. What jobs? Like, does he not get that 23 million Americans are not at work? And now he has put what is being reported, 800,000 people into the workforce.
Now they're going to get work visas and get unemployment. Or they're going to get work visas and get welfare.
Anything. But the bottom line is they are now dole recipients.
Oh, my God.
Recipients, I should say. They're dole recipients now. JC, did you want to chime in?
Oh, no, actually, I'm just going to agree with you.
Regardless of any of that, who the hell is he to just make
the president
to be speaking? Who is he to be? Nobody asked me my opinion. I didn't get to vote.
He doesn't care about your
opinion. Well, I know that.
That's the most disgusting part. He doesn't care about anybody's opinion.
But then he gets up here in front of the press and preaches how this is what Americans want. You don't know what Americans want.
Wait. He says this is a good thing for the American people. I'm still trying to figure out how in the hell is this good for the American
people?
When
you're going to throw 800,000 people into the workforce and there's already how many hundreds of thousands of people out of work?
You have an 8.2 unemployment rate and you've literally just thrown us into a more competitive field to get employment. And now...
Well, wouldn't that drive the unemployment rate up then now?
It probably would, but he doesn't care about that. Again, this is,
care about that because people that are, there are actually government workers that are working, that work for unemployment commission that regulate that in D.C., that are paying themselves unemployment.
But see, it's a different era today.
They're earning income because they're not unemployed.
But see, here's the thing. This is what Obama thinks, and I'm almost certain of this. Now, I've never ever once said on this show that I can get into the mind of Barack Obama. But this one I'm certain of. This is the mindset of Barack Obama. Barack Obama knows that his core support, does not care about the unemployment rate. He knows that they are sympathetic to his reelection campaign. They know that they are looking past what we see as issues. He sees it as rhetoric. And he knows his core supporters see it as rhetoric. Real Talk Blancers are a perfect example of what that voter group thinks. Oh, unemployment rate is at 8.2. Oh, it's been like that for other people too. Oh, he's just trying to do his best. He knows that. So first he does the gays, then he does the Latinos.
And he doesn't do anything for the gays.
No, he doesn't do anything.
He's done more for the Latinos
than he did for the gays.
Absolutely.
And
I bet you he got more money from the gays than he will from the Latinos.
You're absolutely right.
I guarantee.
You're absolutely right. And the truth is that this was nothing more than grandstanding for those four groups. African Americans have still not gotten their pennant. Where's the African Americans?
Where's their
40 acres and a mule. They've got nothing. Gays got his support of gay marriage. Latinos got amnesty. African Americans.
Latinos are at the top right now.
African Americans.
They've gotten more than anybody.
I mean, if you were to look at the grand scale, if I may, I'm gonna go out on a limb here. But if you look at what Latinos have received, what the gays have received, I mean, the gays.
We should really say the LGBT community.
Whatever. But think about this. Think about this. Barack Obama comes out and says, I support gay marriage. He's evolved from it. Even though he said he didn't support it back in 2004. But even though he said he didn't support it in 2008. Now he believes that gays should be allowed to get married. Gays rejoice.
But does nothing for them.
Doesn't
change it. Doesn't put any executive orders out.
Exactly. No
doesn't
executive orders.
Doesn't change anything.
Latinos. You get to stay for 2 years. But it's only temporary.
But
the blacks, what do they get? You get this, niggas.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
4 years ago, we made history. Now it's time to move forward and finish what we started together. We have to show the president we have his back.
We can't afford to spend the next 4 years going backwards. I'm running to make sure that by the end of the decade, more of our citizens hold a college degree than any other nation on earth.
Now, I want you to pay close attention to this because I don't know whether or not any of you got this. Pay close attention. Barack Obama went out and said, I've got the back of the gay community. I believe you should be married. He goes out there and he gets the back of the Latino community. I believe that if you came here due to no fault of your own, that you should be allowed to stay. But his campaign sends out a commercial to the African-American community, and he tells you niggas to get his back. You get nothing. He's got the back of the gays. He's got the back of the Latinos. But y'all got his back. Don't think you're being used now?
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
4 years ago, we made history. Now it's time to move forward and finish what we started together. We have to show the president we have his back.
We can't afford to spend the next 4 years going backwards. I'm running to make sure that by the end of the decade, more of our citizens hold a college degree than any other nation on earth. I refuse to pay for another millionaire's tax cut by kicking children off of Head Start programs, or asking students to pay more for college, or eliminating health insurance for millions of poor and elderly and disabled Americans on Medicaid.
Have the president's back and register to vote. Go to gottavote.org to register now. That's gottavote.org.
You know we've got your back.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up to spend some time with Reese on the radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we're going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air?
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
The adult beverage? I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code 211 means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Clark.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
Our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward in the state of our union this morning.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
All over my face. What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Radio, and we're back 35 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. I didn't even give the date. It's Friday! That's right, Friday, June the 15th, 2012. End of the week, going into Father's Day. Now look, I was going to do a Father's Day version of the Friday Night Dance Party. But I was horribly disappointed. Because I went online and I just did a search. All I did was do a search. And I said, you know what, give me some cool Father's Day songs that I can play. The number one song on the list was a song called Father of Mine by a group called Everclear. Some of you will, some of you won't know this song.
I know
this song. The song is about a boy whose father abandoned him. And there's a U2 song, never heard of it, or maybe I have and I just don't care. There's a Phil Collins song on this list. Phil Collins has a Father's Day song? Now, they don't even have, what wasn't on the list, which drove me up the wall, was this song, and it's going to come to me in a second, but it's that, I got to hum along with it and then it'll come to me. Why is it not coming to me right now? Oh, Cats in the Cradle and a Silver Spoon. That's the song about a father and son. Cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. That would have been the worst dance party song ever. So I couldn't play that. And so the other song that they had on there is a song that they always seem to have, which I think is a complete and utter disrespect to fathers. Pops gets no, they get no love. And the song that they had was Papa Was a Rolling Frickin' Stone, which always makes me want to slap the crap out of whoever wrote that song, as well as the person who wrote the song I'll Always Love My Mama, because I hate that goddamn song. I'll always love my mama. She's my favorite. And the worst part about that song, let me tell you this. You want to talk about the catalyst to disrespecting dads out there, is that if you listen to that song, I'll Always Love My Mama, there's a little bridge in that song where the guys in the group are conversing with one another about mama. And then they talk about dad. And are they not dissing the crap out of Pops? Pops walking in drunk. Pops doing something wrong. It's something along those lines. I don't know.
Pops have to do something in order for them to glorify mom.
Yeah, exactly. But no, you can glorify mom and still say great things about dad. You know what I really, really love? I'll always love my mama. My papa loved her too. What's wrong with that? My daddy taught me to love my mom. You can sing that. You know, my pappy once whipped my ass one day for talking some crap to my mom. Something like that. He told me don't ever disrespect no woman. You know what I'm saying? I mean, something. Instead, no. What's that?
Whatever you just say.
I'm just singing. It doesn't have to rhyme. You get the sentiment. You get what I'm saying? There's no songs like that. You learn to love your mom from your dad. My mom and dad were in love. There is one song, though. There is one song. And unfortunately, nobody knows it. It's a song called Love by Mos Def. It's a song called Love by Mos Def, M-O-S-D-E-F, for those of you who are not familiar with hip-hop. Now, I love this song because in that song, he says, opening line in the song, my pop said he was in love when he made me. And he's talking about how, you know, he's got love for all of these different things. But he opens the song by saying, my father said he was in love when he made me. And it's a brilliant line, even coming from a rap artist, for him to say that. Indulge me a little bit here, because I'm gonna find the song just so I can play the. I can find the. There it is. Here it is. Perfect. Came right up. Actually, I screwed up. I should have just put the word love. Okay, here it is. I'm just going to put the song up so you can hear it. And just listen to the opening line.
They say the goodness in life belongs to those who believe. So I believe. Yes, I start to think, and then I sink into the paper. Like I was ink when I'm writing out chaps in between the lines. I skate when I finish the rhyme. And yo, I start to think, and then I sink into the paper. Like I was ink when I'm writing out chaps in between the lines. I skate when I finish. My pop said he was in love when he made me. Thought about it for a second, wasn't hard to see. I could hear he was sincere, was a game of emotion. The entire affair's probably charged with emotion. When love call your heart, I guess you got the pursuit. 12-11-7-3, my life is testament. Praise of beneficent. Element that breath, right. The void in the form to make love manifest. Up to my early years in Roosevelt Project. It was a bright valley with some dark prospects. In 83, Benny C was the host with the most. I listened to the rap attack and held the radio close. I listened to the rap attack and held the radio close. This was far before the days of high glamour and post. Hey yo, power from the streetlight made the place dark. I know a few understand what I'm talking about. It was love for the thing that made me want to stay out. It was love for the thing that made me stay in the house. Spending time writing rhymes, trying to find words to describe the vibe. This inside the space where you close your eyes and screw your face. Is this the pain of too much tenderness to make me nod my head in reverence? Should I visit this place and remember it? To build landmarks here as evidence. Nighttime spirit shook my temperament to write rhymes that betray this sentiment. We live the now for the promise of the infinite. We live the now for the promise of the infinite. And we believe in the promise. Love, yes, yes,
y'all.
We don't stop because I
thought. Okay, so I'm sorry. I had to go a little longer because I really love that song. But you get my point? Opens the song with the line. My pop said he was in love when he made me. One line. I couldn't think of one. Every other song about dad. Complete abuse. Papa was a Rolling Stone. Father of mine. Dad's always getting this. No love for dad. I'm sick of it. Absolutely sick of it.
There's a lot of bad dads out there.
That's not enough to just completely eradicate the entire idea of pops being good.
No, I'm just teasing.
Mike in Florida, you are Reese on the radio.
Well, you know, there's two things that having an absentee father or a bad father will push people to do. And that's be musicians and strippers. Okay.
This is true.
If you have a happy home life with a good dad, you're probably not going to be in a band. And if you're a rapper, you probably don't know who your dad is.
Wow.
You probably never met the dude. So that's why there's no rap songs about daddy, and they're all about mama.
You know,
because rappers don't know their daddies.
Well, wait a minute. Are you also saying, you know, it's funny. There's a horrible joke about
dude,
this.
Dude, Mike, you crack me up, man. I'm telling you. I just, your accent and just the way that you say it.
He enunciates. It's funny. It is funny. I will tell you this. There's a horrible joke that we used to tell every Father's Day. It's still
bad.
Oh,
I know the joke. I think I know where you're going.
What's the only holiday that they don't celebrate in Harlem?
Yeah, I always heard it as, what's the Webster's Dictionary definition of confusion?
That's awful. You don't even have to finish that.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm trying to think of positive father songs. And no, I mean, there's probably some positive country songs sing about daddy, you know. And there was that one Mike and Mechanic song you know, where he was upset that his daddy was dying in the living years or whatever.
Right, right, right. In the living years. That's right. Great song. It wasn't but even on the list. But who remembers Mike and the Mechanics? See, a guy like me, and I'm going to go right back into yesterday's show, a guy like me, attention to detail, I know Mike and the Mechanics, former Genesis member. I know that.
Well,
you know,
yeah, Mike Rutherford, even. Yeah.
That's right, Mike Rutherford. I would know that. Of course, nobody else would get that. But, okay, so, Mike, am I wrong here in suggesting that there aren't any songs about dads that are positive? Can you think of any?
No, not really. I mean, maybe Hank, even in country, I'm thinking maybe Hank Jr. did one where he was singing with his dead daddy. But
right, right. But these songs are never popular.
You know, dads aren't a real big subject for songs. I mean
even Madonna, who sings a song about her father.
Yeah, Papa Don't Preach.
Papa Don't Preach.
I'm sorry I got knocked up. Please don't beat me.
Yes, exactly. You know, it's a song about a girl with a single parent dad. And what does she go and do? She goes to get knocked up by the neighborhood mechanic.
The Guido, yeah.
I mean, come on. I'm like, dads get no love. They just get no love. I'm sick and tired of people trying to suggest that, oh, Happy Father's Day. I think it's false.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Wait. I'm sorry to interrupt, but so Edward tweets, because we were talking about this earlier, Mike.
Right.
What is he saying?
I am hoping his executive order will be temporary due to him getting bounced out of the White House.
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah, right.
It will be. What I don't understand is like all of these people. Now, this is funny because I wanted to do the research on this just to see what I would find. And I was looking at how much promotion or like pre-Mother's Day promotion there was. Like, how many stories about great gifts for mom, Mother's Day sale, mama, you know, take mom to such and such and such, versus what was being promoted for Father's Day? Literally, there are about 20% of the promotions for Father's Day. Now, I don't know whether or not you guys – I've got a Yahoo account. Of course, it's resonradio@yahoo.com. But when you go to Yahoo's main page, you know how you can scroll through about all of the stories that they have on the Yahoo page? They have about 60 to 70 stories that show up on their screen, and you can scroll through them, and they're usually about, you know, novice stuff. There's no real hard news on there, but, you know, find out how to get good brakes for your car, or, you know, Miley Cyrus did something stupid with a dress. You get all that scrolling.
Yeah, Miley Cyrus showed her boob.
Yeah. So I was going through the scroll. 70 stories in this scroll. Not one was on Father's Day gifts.
Damn, I don't tend to get asked the part about Miley Cyrus showing her boob.
You said, I don't what?
I don't usually scroll any further than the Miley Cyrus story.
But
yeah,
I mean,
she's 18 now. It's all right.
Yes, it's okay now. But my point is that you don't see any sort of it's like this really sort of passive thing. Father's Day is really, I mean, to be honest with you, no one wants to celebrate it. I don't think anybody in the mainstream wants to celebrate it. I think that they almost feel it's sort of like it's a throwaway gift. I think that more people, it's a throwaway holiday. It is, I swear to God. Father's Day is less significant than Valentine's.
But you know what? But I think that this has to do a lot with hormonal, biological makeup, because you can't do that to a woman.
Okay, well, let me. Okay,
a woman would be like, check it out. I've been raising your ass.
Right. No, and I understand that. Mom's the nurturer. She probably does the most interaction with the child. So, yes, her existence is probably much more important. JC, do me a favor.
But no. It's not even so much that. But most men don't really. I mean, yes, of course, you know, they want to have it recognized or whatever. But it's not as important. It's not as important in the same way that it is to the mother.
But this is my argument.
The mother wants things.
No, I understand that. But this is my argument. And you just cursed, did you?
I sure did.
This is
it's
my argument.
Friday.
This is my argument. You hear often, over and over again, we need more fathers being active, more fathers being involved. Fathers need to take a more active role in the household. You have all of the magazines, all of the pundits talking about that. Dads need to change more diapers. We need more house husbands. The woman shouldn't have to do all the housework. Men get more involved.
Who the hell wants a house husband?
I'm just saying. Men need to do more of the housework. Men need to be more involved, right? With all of that, you're not promoting Father's Day? I mean, wouldn't the idea be to promote Father's Day to get them more involved? Like saying, here's a public pronouncement of Father's Day to let you know, hey, you're a part of the fold, too. You're just as important as mom.
Because that marketing would not be able to be that. It would be a failed marketing attempt.
No, I don't think so.
They would spend more money in marketing than they would in receiving revenue.
Go ahead, Mike.
There's no industry behind Father's Day.
Yeah,
and what I mean is, on Mother's Day, right, you buy your mom flowers.
Right.
You get her a card, of course.
Right.
You take her out to dinner. You might buy her flowers.
Right.
With Dad, you're not going to buy Dad flowers.
Well, okay, fine, but
you're
going
to get Pops a six-pack and a pack of cigarettes.
Well, no, what about a baseball game? What about that? Baseball game, sports
is
always good.
But people have been promoting Father's Day things. O'Reilly Factor promotes his tour for Good Father's Day.
Right, Boulder Fresher Tour.
And Mother's Day gift.
But no, that's...
There is marketing.
I appreciate that. No. There's no marketing out there in sports the way that there's marketing for moms. Think about this. They've got a breast cancer awareness thing for the NFL. Everybody wears pink. Pink gloves, pink shoes.
But that affects everybody.
But, the Susan G. Komen color is pink because it's going after women. It's a breast cancer thing.
But
so
breast
going
cancer affects men as well.
But, excuse me, why would you be wearing the color pink if it was if it was geared towards men? We know that's geared towards women.
Yeah,
but we don't have Major League Baseball.
Women,
we don't have Major League Baseball doing any broad promotion for fathers on Father's Day.
No, because they're promoting for autistic kids.
Yeah, exactly. But hold on. I want JC to find a statistic for me. JC, are you there?
Hello, JC.
I don't even know if he's there. JC, are you around? He's probably in the middle of something. I'm going to look this up, but I'm almost positive. If you look this up, because I remember this, a couple of years back, a news report talked about when Ma Bell, you see how far I'm going back here, Ma Bell did a statistic on how many phone calls were made per holiday. And the number two, and I don't know who was on top and who was on the bottom, but on the top, I think the top list, it was Mother's Day and Christmas and Thanksgiving. That would be the top three. Mother's Day, Christmas, and Thanksgiving. And not in any particular order, but those are the top three. I would love to know.
I bet you it was Christmas,
if Father's
Mother's
Day,
and Thanksgiving.
You're probably right. Christmas, Mother's Day, Thanksgiving. But what other holiday would there be that people made phone calls?
Kwanzaa.
Yom Kippur.
make sure they lit up the red, black, and green candles in the wood menorah.
Kwanzaa.
They got the bag of grain out or whatever they do. So celebrate abundance, and you know, why your papa was a Rolling Stone.
Yes,
you know.
Exactly. Oh man.
No, play Thanks for My Child.
Oh yes. I cannot believe you remember that song.
I have that song on my iPod. I love
that. What
was
her name? Cheryl what?
Oh, it's on my iPod. I don't know.
Oh goodness.
I love that
gracious
song.
But I just think, again, I still think dads get a bad rap, and it's absolutely disgusting. It drives me up a wall. I just, I want the.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I can't breathe.
You need some water or something? You
yeah,
can't breathe?
Yeah,
that
I want.
That
have another cigarette, dude.
Sorry. Thanks.
I mean, tell me you don't smoke Newports, man.
I don't smoke Newports, Mike. We cut his mic off real quick. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb dogs,
it's not because they have breasts. It's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way. And I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million.
Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos. Levi, over and over until a baby fell out.
The Maverick and the Milk.
They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cut. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb dogs,
this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City. Number 2, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's to update her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the 7th inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb quads,
Maher decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million.
I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale. Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th. New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth the couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the Radio.
How may I help you, my brother?
Look, I'm here because I can't stand what's happening in this community.
Yes?
Yeah, and somebody has to make a change.
Yes!
Now, brother, will you help me?
Yes, I will!
I wish I could.
Damn it, man, I heard the People's Revolutionary Army was once 1,000 strong. Now, what happened?
They got government jobs.
The brothers walked in with guns, came out with jobs.
The brothers weren't mad anymore. Yes, Whitey is something else.
Reese on the radio, 9:01 is your time on the East Coast, 1 minute after the hour on this Reese on the Radio program on blogtalkradio.com. It is June 15th, 2012. I cannot believe that we are halfway through the month, another 2 weeks back in court to finally get this whole thing over with. I've got to have a meeting with my lawyers for strategy reasons and, you know, all that good stuff. I call it that good stuff. A story that I wanted to report a couple of weeks ago, which I thought was hilarious, was a story about a hitchhiker by the name of Ray Dolan, who had gone from West Virginia all the way out to Montana. The story, for the life of me, I don't know what happened to me, but I was at work, and I literally was, I was almost killed when I heard this story. I was listening to probably my favorite radio show, walking around the middle of the day. The person on the show turns around and says, a hitchhiker who was walking across the country to write a book called The Kindness of America. Or no, sorry, Kindness in America. It's the title of the book. A memoir called Kindness in America. I guess he was walking across America so he could meet people and hitchhike and get to know them and report about kindness. Well, the headline on Drudge Report when I got home and I read it even made me laugh harder. Man writing memoir called Kindness in America shot in drive-by shooting in Montana. I lost my ish in the middle of the street when I heard someone report that. Shot in a drive-by shooting, shot in the arm. According to the story days ago, he was walking, hitchhiking. A person in a pickup truck drove by in a red pickup, shot this man while he was doing this memoir on kindness in America.
Here, bitch, write about this. Bam!
Well, it turns out that Ray Dolan is a liar.
Oh, shit.
The writer of this memoir, Kindness in America, shot himself.
Not so kind.
He shot himself.
Stop it.
I swear to you. He shot himself. And what makes this even worse?
Was it for publicity?
No, that's what he did it for. But what makes this even worse is that a man was arrested.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Billings, Montana. A West Virginia man who claimed to be a victim of a drive-by shooting along a rural Montana highway while working on a memoir called Kindness in America has confessed to shooting himself, authorities said today. Excuse me. Valley County Sheriff officials say that they believe that 39-year-old Ray Dolan shot himself in a desperate act of self-promotion, but they offered no further details. Dolan, who's from Julian, West Virginia, acknowledged he concocted the tale about the random shooting after he was confronted by investigators at a Veterans Affairs Hospital in Miles City, where he is recovering. And this is according to Sheriff Glenn Meyer. Charges were pending, and the case remains under investigation. Dolan has not been arrested, but the weapon he allegedly used to carry out the scheme has been recovered. Dolan had claimed that he was hitchhiking across U.S. Highway No. 2 west of Glasgow on Saturday when a driver of a maroon pickup pulled to a stop and shot him in the upper arm with no provocation. Authorities later arrested Lloyd Christopher Danielson III, a 52-year-old man,
and charged them with felony assault. That charge was dropped Thursday, although Danielson remained in custody, accused of being under the influence of drugs or alcohol when he was arrested. He was probably having a couple of drinks, so what? Meyer indicated that Danielson denied any role in the shooting after he was put into custody. This is what Sheriff Meyer says, quote, "I had the worst feeling he was telling me the absolute truth. I kept telling him that we are seekers of the truth and we are going to work very hard to find the truth of this incident. It was a great moment when I sent someone to pick him up, someone up to the jail to tell him he had nothing to do with it." So this son of a bitch sent somebody else to do the dirty work, or at least the good work, of getting him out of jail. The sheriff doesn't even go down there and tell himself, "Hey, I'm sorry, Mr. Danielson, you were right. You know, I should have believed you. You didn't do it." You send one of your lackeys, punk bitch. Anyway, apparently Mr. Dolan, the liar, runs a photography business called One Shot Impressions. I'd like to look them up. Which has its logo, wow, the crosshairs of a rifle scope.
How this all plays.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The irony, right? He could not be reached for comment on Friday, but Dolan said in an interview Thursday with the Associated Press before his alleged confession that he recently had taken a bus from West Virginia to Sidney, Montana, and then began traveling across the state working on his memoir about people's kindness. Asked about Danielson being cleared, Dolan said in an interview that he was reluctant to comment because of the ongoing investigation and quickly changed the subject. How about them Knicks? Dolan said that there were no words exchanged with the supposed gunman and that he never got a good look at the perpetrator. How did somebody get arrested? I guess, you know, well, then again, think about it. It's a podunk town. You know, probably a one-horse town.
How many maroon
pickups could there be? I'm pretty sure there are plenty of pickups, but maybe not a maroon one.
Stupid.
Why would you do a story about the kindness of Americans and then
turn around
and shoot yourself for publicity? Is this guy a horrible PR guy, or is he brilliant? Mike, please help me.
Well, you know, it's... I never would have heard about this book if he hadn't been shot.
This is true. But you know, crying out loud. What the kindness of America. I mean, was he saying it in jest?
Well,
was
there isn't even a book yet. He took a bus.
Yeah. He didn't even hitchhike from West Virginia to Montana.
No,
well, he's going to hitchhike from...
He took a bus from West Virginia and dropped him off in the middle of nowhere in Billings, Montana.
Is he going to hitch from Montana to Washington State? Oh, you're going to cross three states?
This is what I think happened. It's real simple. This is what happened to this guy, Dolan. Dolan is walking out from Montana. He's walking across the state. He's dehydrated and tired. He's had nothing to eat. He's probably maybe eaten a couple of raw mushrooms from somewhere.
And now he's
a little delusional. And he's thinking about this book. This memoir. And he's saying to himself, yeah, the kindness, man, of Americans, man. This is going to be great. You know, it'd be really cool, though, man. I talk about getting shot. And then the other voice in his head goes, yeah, man, but you ain't never been shot. I could change that. I won't even feel it.
Well, he could have saved himself a lot of trouble and just hitched through Detroit if he wanted to get shot.
Yeah, exactly. Don't go to Montana. If you really want to win...
You're going to hitch across Montana, Idaho, and, like, Washington State? Those are the three nicest places in the country.
Exactly. It's like you set your GPS to a good neighborhood there, buddy. What? You want to find out the kindness of America? Go through West Philly at midnight.
tell us about the incest going on in West Virginia.
Yeah, tell me
how nice it was hitchhiking through New Orleans at night.
Yeah, exactly. You really, really want to impress me.
Buddy, I've been to New Orleans at night. No, thank you.
You know what? If he'd have gone through West Philly at midnight, he would have changed his book to The Kindness of Paramedics.
Thank God for the police. Oh, shit. Never mind. The rednecks are popping out fireworks out here.
What?
Already.
It sounded like the rednecks were firing off cannons outside here.
Already.
They must have leftover fireworks. Yeah.
Are you sure you just don't live in the ghetto?
No, no ghetto here.
Now,
do you go to, you know, all these big events that they have? And where do you live at, Mike?
It's a couple of counties north of Tampa.
Oh, okay.
So do you go to, like, Gasparilla and all that?
No, it's just drunken idiots out in the street. And why would I want to go to a ripoff of Mardi Gras, you know?
Yeah.
I've been to actual Mardi Gras. Yeah, you know, Gasparilla was just something that some lady back in the 20th century decided that Tampa needed a Mardi Gras. So they came up with this Gasparilla nonsense.
Is that because, I mean, they kind of feel like they're close to the panhandle and they think that that's part of the French border?
They just want a reason to get drunk and walk around town in costume.
And do you do the whole big thing that they do for Halloween?
Guavaween?
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Guavaween, it's crazy.
What is that? Somebody explain that to me.
It's something to do with this woman named Mama Guava. And, dude, it's all just an excuse to get hammered in public.
And to get dressed up. Because they do.
Yeah, they throw beads and women walk around half dressed and it's a drunken party.
Carnival?
Yeah.
No, because it's a Halloween theme though.
Well, I understand that, but this sounds extreme. I mean, it sounds very close to Carnival.
Well, it all sounds really close to Mardi Gras.
Well,
you know?
I guess that would be the same thing.
Now, have you ever been to Busch Gardens for Halloween?
Yeah, it was okay.
The
scariest part about going to Busch Gardens for Howl a Scream is where Busch Gardens is located.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that, Mike.
Dude.
Well, clear
up. I went and these friends of mine who were small town rednecks from this area, never lived anywhere else, decided we were going to go, right? So I get in the car and they say, well, you're going to stop for lunch somewhere. Little do I realize these idiots are taking me to Taco Bell on Busch Boulevard.
Okay.
Busch Boulevard is the ghetto. Okay.
Really?
The hood. D.A. hood. The hood.
Right? I guess when I went, I've been to Busch Gardens twice, but I went last year, this past Halloween, actually, and for Hollow Scream with my cousin, and we didn't. I mean, the worst thing I saw was, like, there was accident upon accident upon... I mean, there was, like, three accidents back-to-back on each block. You know what I'm saying?
We pulled into this Taco Bell that was in the parking lot of an Econo Lodge. And I saw three pimps and two hookers. I saw obvious gang members with... The decals in the rear window of their caprices saying, you know, R.I.P. Poopy or R.I.P. T-Boy.
Wait, Busch Gardens is right across from a good school, too.
Hold on. He's not going to get – no, Mike, I cannot let you get away with that math problem, okay? I'm going to have to pull out the abacus on you for this one. You saw three pimps with two hookers? That's mathematically impossible.
Well, no, maybe one of the hookers is in a room, yo.
I was about to say, because one pimp is out there without a hooker.
Maybe they're busy. But, yeah, we walk into this Taco Bell, and we were the only white people in the place, right, in a Taco Bell, which is already sketchy.
Why did you get out of the car, Mike?
Because I was outvoted, and I wasn't going to sit in the car while they went and ate.
Why did your fool-ass white friends get out the car?
Because they're stupid. And they got out the car and the guy's girlfriend.
You didn't want to get punked out.
Well, I had a gun, so I wasn't afraid.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, well. I understand that.
You know, I might have had to shoot three or four people, but I'm getting back to the car.
I'm at your Taco Bell. What you going to do? Because I got a pistol. Don't fuck with this white boy.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, pretty much. But, yeah, we get in, and, like, the guy's girlfriend is starting fights with some hood rat, and I'm like, you know, y'all are going to get killed here.
Yeah, I could have waited.
I got a gun, and I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah, that's
pretty
exactly.
Much. I'll take the keys off your dead body, and I'll get home myself.
Exactly. In a mathematical analogy, three pimps and two hookers were shot dead. Yeah, I can imagine. Oh, that's just awful. I cannot believe that there is a Taco Bell inside of an Econo Lounge sharing the same parking lot.
Not a
Econo. Oh, yeah.
Econo Lodge.
The
Econo Lodge Motel.
Why did I always think it was the Econo Lounge?
I don't know.
I've never really stayed in one.
Yeah, the Taco Bell experience was far scarier than anything inside Howl's Green. Like, when zombies jumped out, I was like, y'all weren't at Taco Bell.
Listen, Mike, that was one of the best times that I've had. Like, I will remember that forever. I really enjoyed myself. It was just my cousin and I, and we went in. They had some new, like, children's horror house theme. I screamed the whole time.
Did you go through the one that was, like, the sorority house?
It's a haunted sorority house?
Yeah. So there was a haunted sorority house that was populated by, like, supposed to be zombie sorority girls.
Yeah,
and the very last room, there's this guy who's like chained to the wall with his shirt off, while this dominatrix hits him with a whip, and he's screaming, and the dominatrix points at me and says, "You're next." And I thought, not only is this not scary, I've actually paid for this before.
Oh, wow.
Let's take a break. We'll be back. Stick around. It's Jason Radio.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
But our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, We measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting. And you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
We're back 23 minutes after the hour. Last break before we get out of here for the weekend. Plenty of news and stuff to talk about, but I've got to talk about this because I don't know whether or not exactly if I'm going to watch it, but I may. I may watch this just for the pure spectacle. But unfortunately, I will not see what I truly want. Now, I'm sure that all of you know who the Flying Wallandas are. Mary? All right. Okay, I guess you wouldn't know. But they are absolutely tremendous. Eight generations of tightrope walkers, acrobats, circus freaks, if you will.
Oh, my God.
Well, they are circus freaks. What? That's not like calling them midgets or,
Well, what kind of circus freaks are they?
If you're in the circus performing circus acts, you get the term circus freak or circus folk.
Circus folk, but not circus
I always freak. Call them circus freaks. Only a freak would want to do half the stuff that these people do. Riding a tricycle with a poodle on your head on a tight rope 50 feet up in the air? Only a freak would want to do that. So that's why I call
only
them circus.
Only a very talented person could do that.
Talented? Really? Apply that to the regular world.
They don't need to.
You can't.
They don't need to.
It only belongs in the circus, which makes them circus freaks. But back to my point.
Which makes them circus people.
Folk. Freak. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't make them freaks.
Whatever. It makes them freaks in my book. I wouldn't feed these people without a slingshot. That's me.
Wow. Wow.
Bearded lady and all.
On behalf of...
What?
Mary, why are you bugging? And JC, the producer. we do not necessarily agree.
You don't have to. These are just my opinion.
With this man's opinion.
Yeah, that's okay.
In matter of fact, I...
So let me get to my point. This guy, Walenda, I don't know if his name is Kevin, Kenny, Keith, or whatever. I really don't care. Only thing I know is that he's going to be walking on a tightrope from Buffalo, New York to Canada. Across
what?
Niagara Falls. Tonight. Live on ABC.
What?
That's right. You didn't hear about this? He's 8th generation Walenda. He is going to walk on a tightrope in the dark with the mist of the water of Niagara Falls and walk across from Buffalo, New York to Canada. I always forget the name of the place that's on the other side of Niagara Falls, but I've been there. It's called Cape something or Court something.
Is he going to have any kind of like...
Yes, they've got a safety harness on him. And see, I was looking for death. All I wanted was one slip-up and have this man fall to his death. Not that I was hoping for his death, but I wanted that to be a possibility.
Oh, my God, you're so ridiculous.
Well, it's not death-defying if there's no death to defy. With a safety harness, this is only, I slipped and I end up hanging on a harness.
We'll try again next year.
Yeah, we'll be back. Join us next week where we'll try this stupid stunt again, and I'll defy, you know, nothing. It's death-defying. I mean, come on. Evel Knievel over the Grand Canyon. Death-defying.
I wonder what they have that tightrope tied to. That is a very... I mean, that's a...
Long distance, right?
How many miles?
It's kind of
that?
A cape. No, it's not a mile. No, it's not about miles. It's
how many, like...
Couldn't be any more than a half a mile.
What?
The distance where he's going to walk across Niagara Falls to the other side to Canada. Can't be any more than a half a mile.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
I thought it was like miles.
If it's even more than that, it's probably it couldn't be a mile. Couldn't be. No one's going to sit there and watch this moron do that for a whole... I mean, come on. No one's going to sit there and watch him walk a mile on the thing. In that case, I mean, somebody should fly over and push him off. That's just me. I'm not going to watch the guy do that. Couldn't be any more than a half a mile. But he's going to be walking. I mean, the whole idea is to go up there and do
what?
It and defy death. I mean, come on. You all remember the guy who did it over the World
so
Trade Center?
But what are they going to do? They're going to have one rope here and then one
I'm
rope
sure they're
going
to put a cable to his ankle that's going to be attached to the back so if he falls... You know, the cable catches him.
No, you can't do that. You would have to have one rope on the bottom, the tight rope on the bottom, and another rope across the top and have him connected to that. Because if it was like a bungee type thing where, like, he would kind of drop a little bit and save him, if you're walking over Niagara Falls, hit a rock, my man, and you're done.
So there are plenty of people who've gone over Niagara Falls and lived. Sure they have. That's the whole idea.
Yeah, but I'm saying if he, like, bangs into a rock or something.
No, he won't fall into it. No, he won't hit a rock. He'll just hit water. He'll hit it really hard. He's just going to hit water. Yeah, absolutely. It's Niagara Falls. He'll be fine. Trust me.
You're a moron.
Come on, Mike. Mike, you don't want to see this?
Dude, well, you know... The Walendas have actually died doing their stunts. There's been Walendas who've died doing trapeze, I think. And the tether is not his idea, from what I gather.
Yeah,
was ABC's idea.
Right, I heard that he was against that because ABC does not want to show his death, should it end.
Yeah, so basically it's bogus because a tightrope walker with a tether is just a zip liner.
Exactly. It's exactly how I feel. I understand that ABC did not want to air it in the event that he dies because they said they will not show the death of a person on live TV unless he's a conservative.
But, you know, I mean, everybody says you're not black, dude. But some of the stuff you were saying was you were this close to saying crazy white people.
No, hell no. Are you kidding me? No. Listen to me.
When you talked about the circus and all that stuff, it's like you were about to become a Chris Rock routine.
No. First of all, circus folk have always freaked me out. I love the circus, but they've always freaked me out. For me, they're car accidents on trampolines. That's the way I look at it. Okay? I love it. I'm not really big on the animal acts. Like, I don't want to see the guy inside the cage making the lions jump through hoops because I really think it punctifies the lions.
That's the one that gets me because you have to have great big cojones to get in there with a giant cat.
Oh. Dude, I know that.
Today
I know
may be the day that cat decides he ain't taking your crap anymore.
Exactly. That's the one that I freak out because I don't like people being attacked by animals. That's why I'm always freaked out about that. I don't want the horse to, like, because you always see women on horses. I would hate to see a horse, like, trample a woman, like, or a man get, attacked by one of the tigers. You know, when Roy from Siegfried and Roy.
You don't want to be at the circus when the circus goes wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
When the elephant decides to leave, you know.
When Roy got attacked on Siegfried and Roy, the thing that bothered me the most, because I sided with the tiger on that one, the white tiger, because he took the microphone and he popped the tiger on the nose. I turned around, I was like, what are you? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, you got me. Okay, he responded. Okay, because I was asking myself, why would you? Oh, okay, I get it. The tigers responded. And what's great about that story is, a lot of people don't know this, is that the tiger not only, like, grabs him by the throat, but then drags his ass off stage to safety. To sort of, like, let him know, you do understand I eat people like you.
Yeah, I mean, the story that Siegfried and Roy, or Siegfried, I guess, because Roy doesn't talk anymore.
Right.
He says that he thinks that Roy had a stroke and that this tiger was just trying to take him off to safety because the tiger loved Roy. And he had a tiger since it was a baby, so I kind of see it. If you think about it, man, if that tiger wanted to kill him,
he could have
just ripped his throat out.
Absolutely. You know? I do believe, I think that Roy did have a stroke of stupidity for hitting that microphone on his nose the way he did. That's what he had, his stroke of lunacy. But this thing, what I'm saying about this is, what I love about this whole circus thing, I always have loved it since I was a kid. I really want to see these death-defying acts with the idea that one of the things that they might do, they may fall flat on their ass, if not die.
So do you watch NASCAR then?
Oh, listen to me.
Sounds like you would like NASCAR.
I only like the highlight reels of the crashes.
That's why people watch NASCAR, dude.
I know.
Nobody watches it for the racing.
Okay.
That's boring. You watch for the crashes.
Exactly. It is for the crashes. But I want to see this guy fall into the Niagara. I mean, I want him to fall into Niagara Falls, and I want to watch the entire group of people who are spectating this thing gasp the collective air. Oh, I want to see Diana say, and he's fallen to the, oh my goodness, is he okay? Matt, let's go to Matt. Matt, can you see him? Can you see him? Helicopters. I want to hear it all.
That would be good. That's good TV, man. That's the human condition right there.
Are you kidding me? I mean, look, we need to return to the gladiators. We need to return. We've got to see death on television.
It's coming.
Let's get Edward on the line. Edward, you're over at Reese on the radio.
Hey, Reese, how you doing?
What's going on? Tell me you don't want to see this guy die.
Of course. That's the only reason to watch it. I mean, if there's no risk, why watch it? You might as well just stand 2 feet over the ground and do the same length.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
We should be watching this guy tightrope over a kiddie pool that Mom bought from KB Toy Stores.
Yeah, the guy's on Jackass do more dangerous stuff than that.
Exactly.
That's right. I mean, come on. This is just Jackass at 1,000 feet with a tether.
I mean, I saw Johnny Knoxville, get rammed by a bull. That's far more dangerous than walking on that tightrope with a tether.
And they won't put his ass on ABC at 10 o'clock? Are you kidding me? These people are nuts. But, yeah, I mean, the Walendas, again, storied history, eight generations. It's got to be worth – I mean, it's just the idea that he's going to do it. You know, let me tell you why I'm annoyed by this. I'm going to go back to an old story. If you look it up online, look up – and you can look this up. Look up on YouTube. Just type in The Crossover Online and David Blaine. All you have to do is on YouTube, look up The Crossover Online and David Blaine. And I put a video up where I took my youngest son to go Lincoln Center to go see David Blaine in that glass bubble with water. Anybody remember that?
I remember that.
Okay, now I went there. And the only reason why I took him down there was because, of course, my son, who I believe was like 9 at the time, was, you know, we were going into Manhattan. Daddy, can we please go see the guy in the bubble? And I said, David Blaine? He goes, yeah, that's him. He does all the great magic. And I go, we're not going to see any magic. We're just going to see him floating around in a bubble in scuba gear. Yeah, but I want to see it because it's going to be on TV. And I can tell all my friends I was there. Okay, fine. All right, fine. So we drive down to Lincoln Square, we drop off. We go there. I film the thing. Watch the video. It's on YouTube. And for this, and the whole idea was he was supposed to break Houdini's record, who I'm a huge fan of. Love Houdini. And if David Blaine, who had a monicum of respect for in some of his tricks, I thought this was going to be it. Well, watch the video. Everyone knows how it turned out, but I was completely, that's it, I'm done with David Blaine. That event, that day that I filmed that, was the day I was done with David Blaine.
I don't know what happened.
I'll show you the video. I'll put it up for you. But look it up, The Crossover Online. If you type that in one word, just type in The Crossover Online and then type in David Blaine. You will catch the video. The screensaver on that video is you see David Blaine in the bubble. You see him in the bubble. And we went right up to the bubble, you see. You know, my youngest son goes up, touched the bubble and everything. He was so excited to go see a man floating around in a bubble. 9-year-olds. Go figure. That's all it took. But I want to see someone die tonight. Anyone got any bets that the tether breaks?
Come on.
I'd like to see him take the tether off.
Yeah, Edward, that's exactly what I'm
saying. Yeah, exactly. You see him man up and take it off halfway across.
He gets out into the middle. He looks right at Dan Sawyer and he goes, "Screw you, bitch!"
I'm a Walenda.
I ain't going out like no sucker. And he walks across and the mist makes the little cable tightrope a little wet and slippery. And then he does the classic.
No, as he pulls it off and tells her, "Screw you," and he turns around, he slips and falls.
Yes, and he does the classic, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa." That's what I want to see. Hey, look who's back. Our producer, JC. Hey, welcome back.
JC.
No.
JC.
Yes, he did. He did it again. I am not going to tell you what JC's doing right now.
But I will.
He is in slumber land right now.
JC must have had a really long day because we went into the yellow bubble and he was like a bear in hibernation.
Yeah, he is. I want to see if I can.
I told Reese to put him out, to put it out there because it was hilarious. We were hysterical.
Let me see if I can hear him. JC, are you there? We're just waiting for him to just snore once.
JC.
Okay, wait. This is pretty bad. I feel like I'm doing like a bad practical joke. Oh, that son of a bitch muted his phone. He must have. All right, whatever. Anyway, I wanted to talk about that. Okay, now this is a great story. Edward, Mike, Mary, you all are going to love this story. I always loved this website since the first time it ever started. I don't even know. Now I'm looking at the picture. Okay. So.
Oh, my God.
The headline reads, Pervy Perp
again.
Is busted. No, no, no. Don't read that part. Is busted for sex. Now, listen to the story. It's been arrested for masturbating in public with the aid of a teddy bear.
I saw that story.
Yes. Did you see this? Charles Marshall, 28 years old, was arrested on Wednesday evening after employees at a health clinic spotted him pleasuring himself in an alley. Municipal court records show that Marshall has already been convicted 3 times of engaging in public indecency, disorderly conduct with a teddy bear.
Okay. So is he when I think of somebody in public masturbating with a teddy bear, I'm thinking, is he using the teddy bear to try to hide himself?
No, he's humping the teddy.
Did he modify the teddy bear?
Well, I don't know if he's modified the teddy bear, but it doesn't matter because the teddy bear is an inanimate object, so any use of the teddy bear is still considered masturbation. Now, here's what came to my mind when I thought about this. Anyone remember the movie Colors?
Yeah.
Do you remember the Damon Wayans scene inside the TV, the convenience store? He's inside the appliance store, and the cops come in, and he's got on a diaper with a shower cap. And
I remember, yeah.
He's humping a big giant rabbit. You don't remember that? Give me the rabbit. Give me the rabbit, man. It's my rabbit. It's rabbit, man. The rabbit. The cop's going, here's your rabbit.
Highlight of Damon's career.
I can't even breathe. It was too funny. As soon as I heard this about the teddy bear, first thing ran to my mind. Now, I don't mean to be perverse here, but I had to ask, how big was the teddy? it brings everything in perspective. We need to know the scale of the teddy bear. Oh, by the way, it's unclear whether cops this week sees Marshall's teddy bear or even they would want to. So fellow Cincinnatians should look for him at an area Toys R Us. That is awful. So, yeah. So
kids, if you see a teddy bear laying around,
I don't know. That's really, really perverse
with
the whole teddy bear
thing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's a little nasty. Go ahead, Edward. I'm sorry.
I had a little bit of a different perspective when I saw the text link, and it just said Pervy Perb, again, busted again for sex with a teddy bear. And when I saw that, I said, God, please don't let him be black.
Oh, and sure enough, he was.
He was.
Sure enough, he was.
Yeah, I would have.
Wow, I had a bet on a white guy on that one for sure.
Me too. And the only reason I knew that it was not a white guy is because I saw his face as I saw his hair as I read the title.
But I mean, again, I don't know what it is that's even weirder about this. Is like, what is the comeback of the weird afro?
He looks like he's disturbed.
And troubled.
Yes.
Well, anybody remember that line from...
Well, anybody would be troubled if you disturbed them in the middle of their session with a teddy bear.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't be in the best mood either. I don't know. I just looked at that picture as soon as I saw that story. It made me laugh, but I was sort of like saying to myself, the fact that he had been arrested for the fourth time...
Doesn't that cause him to be like a convicted felon?
Well, I don't know if that is. I always think of that movie, Full Metal Jacket, when they talk about hand job. It's like when the hand job was just about to go home for a Section 8, so he was masturbating at least 5 times a day. That's what I think this guy has. I think he may have a sexual disorder.
Well, obviously.
There's no way to be tough and lock up with that one. Like, what are you here for? I'm being a teddy bear.
Jerk it off in the street.
Oh, were you kidding me?
Face.
If he's lying.
I have to say, I'd tell him I hit an old lady or something. I'd punch this old bitch.
He would actually, he would, you know, if he was in jail, I mean, who would stop him?
I wouldn't shake his hand, that's for sure.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Okay, I'm going to take a break when we come back.
He's probably going to become somebody's teddy.
I got to play this audio by the RNC, which was released today. I don't know whether or not you heard this, Mary, but today when I heard this audio, this for me, and it's too bad because Derek isn't calling today, and it would have been perfect had he called today. When you hear this audio, you guys tell me whether or not this campaign has hit an all-time low as far as Barack Obama is concerned. You have
to be worse.
You have to hear this audio. Trust me when I tell you. You have to hear this audio. Whoever's at the Republican National Committee who's doing the research over there now, somebody over there needs to get a Pulitzer, a Clio, whatever it is they give for commercials these days, this person needs to get it. We'll take a break. When we come back, I'm going to play. Well, we'll be back in a second. Stick around. We'll be back shortly.
What are you prepared to do?
Everything within the law.
And then what are you prepared to do? If you open the ball on these people, you must be prepared to go all the way. Because they won't give up the fight until one of you is dead.
I don't know how to get him.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. Now.
Blog Talk Radio.
Mary, why James, you're on the air.
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
Beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code, 211, means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
If I don't recognize your name, you're Rod Nobody. Look, I don't make this much beef about my broad getting into the house to cook me a meatloaf. But they're really excited about this guy going from one souffle to a big zucchini. I don't know what it is, but she can't stop yammering about this.
Was it Michael Simon?
That's him. That's the guy. Michael Simon. Never forget it. Okay, I'll always forget his name because he's a nobody. But anyway, Michael Simon, the bald-headed guy, right? That's him.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, he wears a lot of plaid.
Yeah, that's
him. Because he's dressed like the chef. Whatever.
He's an Iron Chef.
Yeah. Is he an Iron Chef?
Yeah, he is.
Is that significant?
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Is it a big deal in the foodie world?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty big.
Seriously?
Yeah, it is.
They can lick my balsamic vinegar.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Said God Almighty gonna
take a bale of cotton. Click on a man, they're gonna take a bale of hay. Click on a man, they're gonna take a bale of cotton. Click on a man, they're gonna take a bale of hay. Oh, Lord, pick a bale of cotton. Oh, Lord, pick a bale of hay. Oh, Lord, pick a bale of cotton. Oh, Lord, pick a bale of hay. Got to jump down, turn around.
You're probably confused as why the hell am I playing that? I always play that whenever I'm thinking about Barack Obama. I got to play this audio for you guys just to get some last responses from you before we go off the air for the weekend. By the way, everybody have a happy Father's Day. Please do me a favor. Two things, your homework for this weekend. First homework is to please go out and try this bacon sundae and call us or email us on Monday and let us know what
it is. It's not homework.
It is homework.
That's not
well,
a
I want to know what
yeah,
this
no,
thing tastes
I
like.
I wanted to know. That was my.
Well,
idea.
I want to know too. I want to know what this thing tastes like. I'm not going to try it, but I'm pretty sure everybody
yes,
else.
Yes, you
is.
Are going to try
it. All right, I'll try it. Fine. And second thing to do is to please find me a decent Father's Day song. Something uplifting. Okay, if it's a country song, I guess I'll put up with it. But, you know, I'm trying to get a good song. I want something in the vein of I'll Always Love My Mama, so I don't have to think about that song whenever I can't find a Father's Day song. So anyway, this is a speech by Barack Obama, which he gave yesterday, June 14th, in Cleveland, where he was framing the economy. The people at the Republican National Committee put together this ad, which actually runs for about 2 minutes. I won't run the whole 2 minutes and 40-something seconds for you, but you got to listen to this. This is frighteningly good.
Frighteningly?
Frighteningly. I hate when I have to say that. Frighteningly?
Yes, it's frighteningly.
That's what I meant to say.
But that's
okay, well, thank you for correcting me.
You're quite welcome.
All right.
I, Negro.
Frighteningly brilliant. Pay attention to it. Now, apparently these are two speeches. One from June 14th and the other one is back in March. It doesn't matter which one is which, because they're both the same.
I believe this is a make or break moment for the middle class. This is a make or break moment for America's middle class. Over the last few decades, the income of the top 1%, has grown by more than 275%, to an average of $1.3 million a year. But I also share the belief, of our first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln. A belief that through government, we should do together what we cannot do as well for ourselves. As much as we might associate the GI Bill with Franklin Roosevelt, or Medicare with Lyndon Johnson, it was a Republican Lincoln. Who launched the Transcontinental Railroad. National Academy of Sciences. Land-grant colleges. It was Eisenhower who launched the interstate highway system. Investment in scientific research and a new era of scientific research. It was Richard Nixon who created the Environmental Protection Agency. Ronald Reagan who worked with Democrats to save Social Security. Nearly 10 million college students would see their financial aid cut by an average of more than $1,000 each. 10 million college students would lose an average of $1,000 each on financial aid. Over 200,000 children would lose their chance to get an early education in the Head Start program.
Can you say running out of ideas? Running out of ideas.
Hearing it was one thing, but I encourage you, if you haven't seen it, to look it up and watch it, because that was crazy.
Well, that, and by the way, I had the month wrong. It was April 3rd. April 3rd. And, oh, JC says his receiver is dead. He's not snoring. Yeah, that's what that means.
Okay, JC, you may not be snoring now, but you were snoring earlier.
That's okay. Well, it we'll figure out.
We love
so,
you.
So, guys,
his receiver is dead, but his microphone is
fine. Microphone's working fine. So, Edward and Mike, have you guys seen this RNC ad yet?
I haven't seen it, but I heard the audio.
Yeah.
It just sounds like he's being green and recycling speeches is all.
I think, yeah, I guess, hey, well, Solyndra doesn't work. Why not work with speeches?
Maybe they didn't reload his teleprompter.
Oh, I mean, can it be more, I mean, it's great that he's eloquent and everything, but do we really need a president that just rehashes the same old rhetoric? I mean, I thought...
He never talks about... He always... It's like he has this encouragement speech about him, but never a factual type of speech.
Yeah, he tries to connect on an emotional level, but there's no substance there.
Exactly. That's a great way... That's wonderfully put. That
you know, that's just like Clinton used to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel your pain. I grew up in Hope, Arkansas. I was a poor boy, and I feel your pain. You know, it's Obama. You know, I care about the middle class, and Republicans used to spend money and help poor people, and blah, blah, blah.
Mike, please, the next time you get ready to do something like that.
Like Bill Clinton?
Can you let me know? Because I was taking a sip of a cocktail and almost choked.
Well,
that was hilarious.
That's a
well, you know, bro. You know, I have not much use for a woman who'll choke.
No!
Wow, you are on fire tonight.
No. You ought to hear it. You should hear my Forrest Gump. It's outstanding.
I will definitely look forward to that.
Run, Forrest, run!
I hate that.
But you ain't got no legs to tell it, Dan.
That's it, dude.
Me and Jenny was like peas and carrots. She taught me how to swing, and I taught her how to dangle.
Not bad, dude. Not bad. Wow. I love the Bill Clinton. I mean, that's pretty uncanny.
Now that I have your ear, I have to ask you guys a question because you are all nice black people, okay?
Well, except for Mary.
I'm not black.
How? Well, you're close enough. How in the hell does Chris Brown still have a career?
Oh, there are very many young female idiots who love him. Including the woman that he nearly beat to death.
If Tim McGraw punched Faith Hill in the face, he'd be an answer to a trivia question.
You're absolutely right. That is perfectly put. You know,
and Chris Brown was on NBC last Friday.
Yeah.
How? He punched the biggest pop star in the world. I mean, people will say Gaga or whatever. Rihanna sells some records.
When he punched her,
she was at the peak, and he's still got a career.
It's real simple. It's general hatred. It's girl on girl hate. Because there are a lot of women out there who don't like Rihanna and like Chris Brown and are willing to give him a pass. Therefore, creating a trend, people are willing to give a pass. In fact, when they were interviewed outside the Today Show a couple of years ago when he was doing a concert, the girls went so far as to say, "I'll never forget it." Well, you don't know what really happened, and you don't know whether or not she provoked him. That was the girl's reasoning for supporting Chris Brown.
I saw the pictures, and man, he busted her in the face.
And again, he is. Remember, there were people who were boycotting him, and they're not boycotting him anymore. It was short-lived. Hip-hop is a very, very forgiving realm, and I have to be honest with you. If you really want to equate the two, consider the pass that they're giving the President of the United States. Why wouldn't they give a guy like Chris Brown a pass?
They didn't give Ike Turner no pass.
That's a different era.
Once that movie came out, man, Ike was done. Done. Over.
Yeah, well, it
Ike couldn't even play state fairs.
It didn't help.
He couldn't even be a circus freak, could he, Mike?
All right, that's our show. I'll let you get the last one on that one. We'll see you guys over the weekend. Thank you, Edward. Thank you, Mike, as always, man, for always checking in with us and having a good time with us, man. I love you guys. And have a great Father's Day to all you fathers and definitely you gentlemen. And we will see you on Monday, another 48-some-odd hours or something like that. And everybody have a good weekend. We love you. For Reese on the Radio, Mary Mary, why you bugging? And JC, the producer, we'll see you then.
Happy Father's Day, gentlemen.
Bye-bye, guys. I don't know where my music is.
Whether you have children or pets, happy Father's Day.
Oh, are you kidding me? We're out of here. We'll see you Monday. Don't forget, Bacon Sunday. I want to hear about it.